Every moment is bigger than the next.
Get out of here, gone!
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings. Sponsored by Delta Dental.
Young's 2-1. Ground ball back up the middle. That's going to sneak through into center field. Adames is home. Bauer's racing around third. He will score. A two-run single for Andrew Monasterio. And the Brewers have broken it open in the eighth. It is 6-0 Milwaukee.
Now to break it all down live from American Family Field, here is your host, Dom Catronio.
Another series winner for the Brew Crew. Donuts for breakfast tomorrow, y'all. 6-0, the shutout victory over the Mets. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, is here with us tonight. You heard Lane Grindle's call of some insurance runs scored by Andrew Monasterio. He needed that, I mean, just for him. And Pat Murphy talked about that in the postgame. But also a big hit from Joey Ortiz. His first ever hit. With the bases loaded, he was previously 0 for 10. He gets a two-run, two-out single in the fourth inning. The Brewers never looked back. Despite Augie striking out 18 times tonight as an offense, and doing it in only 8 innings, mind you, of offense because they won the game, tonight was the first time ever in franchise history that the Brewers won a 9-inning game in which they struck out at least 18 times.
That is amazing. I looked at it. I couldn't believe the numbers on there when you say we struck out 18 times. It just made those at-bats just more precious. And you go with the 18 strikeouts, again, 5 out of 6 runs with 2 outs. Just this team is just special. They just go and play hard, and they play hard for 27 outs. And if it works out well, they're going to win. And tonight, I'll tell you what, pitching dominance showed tonight.
And quick scoreboard update, as we'll be scoreboard watching. A few things came into clarity today. First and foremost, the Phillies lost to the Nationals today 6-3. So the Phillies are at 94 wins. It does not matter what the Dodgers do, but for that case, they're already up 8-2. They're at 96 wins, which means the Dodgers have clinched the one seed and the best record overall in baseball. They'll have home field advantage throughout the year. Why is that significant to the Brewers? Because that means if the Brewers move on out of the wild card series, they would go to Philadelphia, and Reese would have to go back to Philly, the city where the Brewers got swept earlier this season. So that is official. That is locked and loaded. If the Brewers move on out of the wild card, they will be going to Philadelphia. The other piece that we learned today, or at least not learned, but is chaos right now. The Braves went on a walk-off home run from Travis d'Arnaud. They have won that series against the Royals. They're feeling good. It's not clinched yet, but they're looking a whole lot better now thanks to the Mets losing here in these two games to get themselves into the postseason. They have to play the Monday game. Oh my goodness, the Padres might have just hit another home run. The Padres have hit 3 homers in the top of the 9th inning of a scoreless game. It's now 5-0 Padres in the top of the 9th. So Arizona is keeping the Mets alive because of all the chaos and knowing that the doubleheader is looming on Monday. So nonetheless, here's how things stand right now. The Mets and the Diamondbacks are going to remain tied virtually in record because of the 2 extra games and everything like that. Arizona's about to be 88-73. The Mets are 87-72. That's going to be tied. The Braves are going to move a game clear of the Mets and the Diamondbacks. And given they have the tiebreaker on Arizona already, and all they need to do is win one game on Monday to win that tiebreaker, the Braves are suddenly in the driver's seat to be the 5 seed, which means whoever wins more games over these next day and a half between the Mets and the Diamondbacks, that team will be the opponent here for the Brewers at American Family Field.
Wow. I don't know how you put it together. I've been looking at this thing for like 2 days. I'm looking at the schedule. There's games to be played. It looks like Monday's an automatic now.
Monday's an automatic. That became official yesterday.
That's going to be played and they're going to play. But, you know, you look at with the schedule, way these teams are playing and you see that it's going to be who wins the most out of the next 2 days. It makes tomorrow pretty special, even here in Milwaukee.
And you look at it. So let's say the Mets lose tomorrow, right, and the Diamondbacks win, that puts things into a scenario where the Mets will be at 87 wins, the Diamondbacks will be clinched at 89 wins. That means the only way for the Mets to get into the postseason would be to sweep the doubleheader, use all their pitching, and then by doing so, they would be the 5 seed, and Arizona would come here. Atlanta would be coming here, and Arizona would be, or I'm sorry, it would be Arizona coming because Atlanta would only have 88 wins depending on what they do tomorrow. It gets crazy. I'm not going to get lost in the sauce on that one, but the point of the matter is the Brewers are making it hard on the Mets. They're going to have to use all their pitching. Jose Quintana was solid, but they still haven't had to see Edwin Diaz. They still haven't had to see, they saw Mates on tonight, and he was really good. But the Brewers are, they're the class of the Central, to say the least, but they're proving it against a team like the Mets.
Yeah, they're just going out and playing baseball. You know, we talked about what was Murph going to do with this ball club after he had clinched the division. How was he going to approach it? And you really got to like the way they have approached it each and every game. This team goes out every night and they go to win a ball game. Yeah, they had 18 strikeouts today. That does happen. And when you strike a lot in a game, you come up with the big hits. You come up with something they've done all year. Too many big two out hits that they got tonight. And the good at bats when they get the two outs and they get runners on base. They get runners on base. That's how they apply pressure, and that's what they did tonight. They got a couple innings where when you look at it, the fourth and the eighth inning when they got opportunities and they took advantage of them. And that's what this team has done all year long. They play, and then when they get the opportunity, they come up big. They give the good at bats. I looked at their pitching staff too. Tonight, 71% strikes tonight, Don. 70. How many times in baseball do you see pitchers go out and pitch a game and pitch and throw 71% strikes? It's usually usually a 59 to 63%. Tonight, 71. Just a fantastic outing by every pitcher who pitched tonight.
And you look at it for the Brewers as a pitching staff, because you throw a shutout at this point in the season, a two-hit shutout, for that matter, at this point in the season. You've done a lot of things well. They struck out only 11 Mets, only one walk. It was Devin Williams, and I know he was burning about being the only guy that allowed a walk tonight. But nonetheless, I mean, nothing was hit hard. I mean, no. You had Marte's double and Alonso's deep fly out. Those are the only balls that jump out to me that were actually hit hard tonight. It was a really impressive night. All parties involved. For Tobias to come out of the bullpen, first time he's done that in like a bulk role. For Koenig to handle a single and have no problem facing four batters, to have Pyomp strike out the side, to have Ashby look good, to have Mears look good, and then just hand the ball to Devin in a 6-0 game is a bit of overkill. But nonetheless, I mean, the pitching, this is kind of, we've said this before the last couple of weeks, this is a picture of what some of the Brewers feel it's going to look like in the postseason. And if that's it, I can't sit here and say, oh, yeah, that's not going to work with a two-hit shutout against a playoff-caliber team like the Mets. They're onto something here.
Yeah, there is. And it's just something what they had set up for this ball club, that how they're going to finish out the season. They're going to go in. Everybody's going to get to work. They're going to get their tune-up. And that's exactly what this team has done. And the one thing that I really liked about our pitching staff tonight and the way it's pitched the last two or three ball games is the aggressiveness in which they've gone about it. They've gone out there and they don't walk a lot of guys. They throw strikes. They get ahead. They use all their pitches, and you know they're just going out and doing such a great job. And at the same time, we're playing a good, strong defense, which we need to do, and we're taking advantage of things when we get guys on base. We're looking at Terang the other night, stealing, grading up to the 50 stolen base. That is a really neat mark for him to achieve, especially, you know, you get a guy who gives you a good at-bats. He's a good leadoff hitter against a right-hand pitcher, and he does such a good job. He gets on base. When he gets on base, he can make things happen.
Whenever I do national games and whenever I'm, you know, crisscrossing the country with Brian Anderson, and people ask me about the Brewers all the time, and they ask, like, how are they doing this? What is going on? Why are they so good? I'm like, they do the little things. And you said something there with Terang getting the 50 stolen bases. It reminds me, some of the little things that the Brewers have done in this series and overall against the Mets too. They're 17 for 17 on the season series, including the opening weekend in New York, in stolen bases against the Mets. They drew four more walks today. They didn't have the biggest day with runners in scoring position, and yet they went 4 for 13, which doesn't sound all that great, but that's you know, a little better than .267. Like, that's not terrible. They only left seven runners on base, but three more stolen bases tonight, and yet another win for the Brewers without a home run. They have the best record in baseball without hitting a home run. You got to do it in multiple ways.
It's manufacturing runs, and you know we talk so much in the game of baseball. It's not just being the big home run, which you do get, and those are good to have. But I'll tell you what, when you can go out and manufacture runs the way they do, and the big reason why they do that is they're good at the plate. They take a lot of pitches. They steal a lot of bases. When they get a guy on first base or on second base, it doesn't make any difference. You know they're going to apply pressure in some way, and they're going to do. How are they going to do it? They're going to run the base as well. I think if you look back at all the clubs of the Brewers the last several years, undoubtedly this team runs the bases as well as any of those teams they've had in the past.
Yeah, they just take every opportunity they get to make it a little tougher on you. We'll talk about the fourth inning a little bit later, but let's have a conversation about Tobias Myers coming up next. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is the Hunt for Brew October on Brewers Extra Innings, sponsored by Delta Dental. This is Brewers Extra Innings.
The victory, 6-0. I had a pitching coach back in the day that said, if you get a shutout, you get a donut. Like that's what he'd always bring Krispy Kreme donuts the next morning to the clubhouse, like donuts for shutouts. And I'm going to go have a donut tomorrow morning to celebrate a 6-0 win. I mean, that's something we can all get behind, right?
I think I'll have a donut when I get up.
There you go. I love it. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Now, forgive me, Augie, for the reference I'm going to make, but you know, this feels like they forgot about Dre. You know, to use a rap song to say, Tobias Myers is still a really darn good pitcher, and in a rookie season, a guy that had an ERA north of 6, nearing 7 a couple of years ago in Double and Triple A, on his 6th different organization, just turned in a rookie year. Over 100 innings pitched with a 3.00 ERA. He has been a stopper. He has been an innings eater. He has been a little bit of everything for the Brewers. And quite frankly, I do not think this is hyperbole. I thought his stuff tonight was the best it's been all year. Better than the 8 shutout against the Tigers. Better than it was in the great 7-inning start he had here earlier against the Reds. I thought the stuff was great. Obviously, he was kept on a pitch count to keep him fresh for the postseason, because that made it clear to me this dude deserves a playoff start, and it might be in Game 3 of the Wild Card Series.
I agree. Tonight he was just aggressive. You know, you look at him pitching the way he came up earlier in the year. It just seemed like he just was trying to find himself a little bit. You know, we talk about him going out to Colorado. Where do you find your slider, your cutter, or whatever? You find it in Colorado, of all places. But he did, and he just learned to throw it in good spots, and that was the most important part of. But this guy locates the ball so well. He's a strike thrower. He pitches. He executes his pitches, and he throws strikes, and he pitches to the edges. One thing I really like about the way he pitches is that he'll pitch up in his zone, but he has that ability to go down and play the corners anytime he wants, and he uses his off speed. I think the real big pitch for him that he's been very consistent with, has been big for him, is his changeup. His changeup has been a pitch that, you know what, he throws it enough that as the opponent, you say, oh, man, he's got that off-speed stuff. You have to be aware of that. But yet he has that good velocity, comes out of his hand, and has that a good explosion up in his zone. He can throw it down in his zone. He's got that good life on the ball. But consistently throwing strikes, executing pitches that are called and placed to the edges. I thought tonight he was as aggressive and just focused at what he wanted to do. And I'm going to tell you what, he executed tonight as well as I have seen him all year.
A 34% swing and miss rate, meaning of all the swings, a third of them were whiffs from the Mets tonight. And only 50-some pitches, and in a total of 56 pitches, he threw 41 strikes. Again, talking to what you were talking about, with 71% strike total for the Brewers. And I know you'll like this. It all comes back to fastball command. When you combine his four-seamer and his cutter tonight, he threw 31 fastballs, right? 24 of 31 were strikes with the fastball command. Any successful pitcher, John Smoltz, who was calling the game tonight on Fox, he knows it, you know it. Fastball command is number one, and Tobias Myers showed off what he has.
Well, it's so when you watch him pitch, he executes his fastball in so many parts of the zone. Mm-hmm. He's dynamic when he can throw the ball up in the zone. I think a couple starts ago we were talking about how the velocity goes. It seems like it has that little extra hop to it. Was it a couple starts ago?
Oh yeah.
And tonight he has that. He has that ability to pitch to the upper part of the strike zone, stay in the zone, but yet get that good life. They all say a pitcher's a pitcher when he can pitch the ball and when he needs to can reach back and get that little extra. He's one of those guys that can do that, and he knows when to do it and how to do it and where he has to throw it. And he does that extremely well, and I think that's a big reason why he's pitched so well since he's come back up to the big leagues.
And when you look at it for Tobias, too, I've said the numbers before, but I'll say them again. In a Game 3 scenario, it may or may not be after a Game 2 loss, but you know, in a Game 3 scenario, there is a loss in there at some point for the Brewers. My favorite stat of the year in regards to Tobias Myers is the fact in 13 appearances when following a Brewers loss, he's made 13 appearances following a defeat. He is 7-2 with a 1.84 ERA, 68 innings, 63 strikeouts, and 16 walks. Opponents only hitting 183 in those games. He's a stopper. He's somebody that we've talked about as saying, you know you're going to get five strong, solid innings. He doesn't care about lighting up the radar gun. He doesn't care about collecting 10 strikeouts every game. And he is, quite frankly, a guy that knows his tool with his fastball. And when he finds command of the slider like he did tonight, he doesn't even need the changeup as much because, holy cow, I mean, you saw all the uncomfortable swings we saw on the other side. They can't see the baseball.
He makes such great adjustments on the mound. You watch him. It's always fun to watch him in the first inning because he's going and he's trying to find himself. And he'll have a day where maybe the breaking ball or the slider isn't where he wants, cutter isn't where he wants it. He'll use another pitch. He'll test the pitch. I really like his ability to go out there with all his pitches and test them, see how they are working for him. Is his release point real well? But the one thing that he's very consistent in, and he works hard each and every time, and it's about execution. We've talked about it all night long, is his fastball. He can locate that fastball where he needs to, and every once in a while you see him, he'll walk a guy or something, the ball gets away from him, he gets a little bit of rush and the ball will take off from him, but he's able to make that adjustment and bring him back and say, you know what, I've got to make that good pitch. I might go to another side of the plate, I might throw a breaking ball in between just to get me back focused, but he's that ability he has to make adjustments on the mound is really the reason why he's so successful.
So on the fifth day, air quotes here, the fifth day would be Game 3 of the Wild Card Series. So that means if the Brewers win it in two, he would be maybe your Game 1 starter a week from today in the DS in Philadelphia. And I trust him. I think he's earned this. He's obviously going to have a bullpen ready to go behind him like we saw tonight. Doug feels the same texting in. I would feel very comfortable with Tobias pitching the third game of that series. I think a lot of Brewers fans feel the same way, given the body of work cannot be ignored at this point.
That's
from
right.
What he did.
That's right. He's throwing the ball. He's a guy who just he studies the game. I think when you listen to him when he talks, he talks about execution and going out and how he feels about throwing the ball and locating the ball. And I was listening to him talk on the sidelines one time. And he was talking about his pitches, and I think he was talking to Sophia about what he was going to do for his next start. It was interesting. He says, my next bullpen, I am going to work extremely hard on my changeup. My fastball, I'm going to locate my fastball. I'm going to work on my changeup. Next game out, I watched what he did. He used his changeup a little bit more. He had got that changeup. So here's always a work in progress. You're never good enough. You always got to work in progress and say, you know what? I am going to work as hard as I can to be the best I can, but I'm never going to give in. I'm always going to be the top of my game, and that's especially what he does when he goes out and he's able to locate all those pitches.
Yeah, and honorable mentions to all of the guys in the bullpen today. I'm not going to have time to break down every single one of you, but Pyomps looks fantastic. He's got like a 1 ERA over the last 2.5 months. Nick Mears, good to see him pitching well. Ashby, Murph mentioned in the postgame, he's dealing with a little bit of a bad back right now, but he had a 1-2-3 inning, so ho-hum. And then Devin Williams, just the one walk, ho-hum for him as well. Brewers' bullpen was great. None of them will pitch tomorrow. No back-to-backs. That's the luxury you get to ride right now. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. 601-616-1620. Now let's switch over to the offensive side of things here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory 6-0. We've talked about Tobias getting the bulk work today behind the opener, Jared Koenig. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks for joining us here on your Saturday night. Augie, I want to just go straight to the fourth inning. I also want to, in the process, tip my cap, Jose Quintana. Brewers have seen him plenty over the years, and he did it once again to the crew with a changeup and curveball combo that the Brewers could not solve until Joey Ortiz came to the plate. Now, this rally began with a one-out single by Adames. Hoskins then drew a walk for first and second. Gary struck out, so two outs, first and second. And rookie Isaac Collins, all 14 or so plate appearances in the big leagues for him, he draws a walk. That loads the bases. And Joey Ortiz comes to the plate. Joey did something he rarely does to start that at-bat. He swung at the first pitch. He has one of the lowest first-pitch swinging percentages in all of baseball. And he swings at a first-pitch fastball, fouls it off. A little late on it, but he fouls it off. Just in that moment, a changeup curveball specialist with not a crazy heater.
Yep.
If a guy's late on your first-pitch fastball, fouling it off, what does that tell you?
That tells me that he's gunned up to hit the ball in the ballpark, and he's really looking for something in middle plate that he can drive.
And that, and then he takes a pitch way upstairs for ball one. One ball, one strike. He gets another heater. He fouls it late down the right side. Okay, so he's still late. Now he's behind one and two. You're thinking, okay, well, if he's late, I can't speed up his bat. I can't give him off speed. Let's see if we can sneak another heater by him. Same exact thing happens. Foul ball down the right field line. So now, still a one and two count. You've only thrown him fastballs. He's late on the fastball. You think he's trying to drive it out here, but now he's battled on back-to-back heaters. What are you seeing from those swings?
Well, I'm saying that he's being patient at the plate. What he's doing, he's letting the ball travel. A good hitter with two strikes will always let the ball travel, especially fastball. And a lot of times when you see the ball hit off into the right field, if he's a right-hand hitter, into the right field area, what is he doing? I'm being patient and let the ball travel. And that's what he did on those two pitches.
So now, again, one and two count. He's only seen fastballs to this point in the at-bat. He takes a curveball in the dirt, non-competitive pitch, spits on it, being patient. Then another curveball misses below the zone, loads the count. He didn't pull the trigger identifying curveballs that were below the zone, telling you, okay, he's locked in for off speed. I can't give him off speed anymore. I got to find a way to get something going. Nope. Quintana instead throws one more curveball. Ortiz is ready for it. Didn't get all of it, but he got enough of it into left center field for a two-run single. That was the at-bat that just encapsulates the Milwaukee Brewers. No whiffs, spits on some tough breaking balls, stays alive on fastballs. I wouldn't even call it a mistake. I would call it poorly executed, but not fully a mistake, to say the least, but nonetheless, he missed barrel. He didn't smash it. But hey, two-run score, good things happen when you put the ball in the
net. It's a great at-bat when you look at it, how you should approach an at-bat in that situation. Aggressive early. He was. He's aggressive early. Then after that, he went back and he got patient with himself. He's going to let the ball travel. If the ball is out over the plate, he can drive the ball into right field. And what does he do? He gets a couple of breaking balls, which he stays off. He's got a great eye at the plate. Ortiz has a good eye, backs off it, and then gets a breaking ball where he's able just to put the bat on it. That's one thing, like you just said, that encapsulates this ball club, how they approach it, how they go about each at-bat. That was a perfect at-bat, and that turned out to be perfect because it scored two runs for the Brewers.
It was all they ended up needing in this game. But again, a couple of walks. You finally get a crack in the armor, and the Brewers are ready to attack because that's how they roll with two outs, five of the six runs scoring with two outs today. And then the rally in the eighth inning off of Reed Garrett began with a 110-mile-an-hour single from Garrett Mitchell. Another walk. Adames pulls a single to the left side. That made it 3-0. And then a broken bat stoink from Jake Bowers kept the rally alive for a bases-loaded walk by Ortiz, and then a two-run single up the middle that you heard at the top of the show from Andrew Monasterio. My biggest takeaway, and I was talking about this with James over here in the cafeteria here at American Family Field, the Brewers did this in a game that Andrew Monasterio played second, Bryce Turang had the day off, a day that Isaac Collins played left field. They're, didn't have Blake Perkins start this game. Sal Frelick, and we'll talk about Sal here in a moment, Sal obviously not available. They had a game that, you know, Gary was DHing, and he went 0 for 2 against the lefty. As he's in there to hit lefties, he's been in a little bit of a slump right now. The Brewers still managed to put 6 runs on the board with that lineup.
You know, you look at it. I look at that 8th inning, and you said you went over it real well there, how what we did. We were able to score some runs. I thought the biggest key to that inning was when Mitchell got the base hit, was stealing second.
Mm.
Right away, As a pitcher, you say, oh, my gods, I got their, one of their best RBI men coming up. I've really got to be careful here. And that's exactly what he did, because he walked Contreras, and then Adames came up with the big base hit, and then it kind of and Bauer got the hit, and then the Ortiz walked to score another run, and then Monastero gets the hit. But I thought the key was getting that runner in scoring position. It just puts with this ball club, the way they put the ball in play, it just puts that inning and saying, hey, you know what? The pitcher says, I can't give up another run. We've given up 2. I don't know if we can get to. But what I'm going to do, I got to try to save that run. And what it did, it just made it happen that Adames got a good pitch, a hit, and he got a base hit, and they were able to score a couple more runs.
So it's getting more or less likely that the Mets would come back here. It could be the Diamondbacks, given they lost. But nonetheless, you're going to face a lefty if it's the Braves, right?
That's right.
Like, you're going to see Sale. And the Braves, I tip my cap to Brian Snitker, man. Everyone was kind of questioning the fact that he said, I am saving Chris Sale until it's an elimination game. He had Reynaldo Lopez shoved tonight against the Royals. He doesn't need to use Chris Sale tomorrow now, because all they need to do is win and they're in.
That's right.
And they'll still have the games on Monday if they need them, because now all of a sudden, if the Braves sweep and the Brewers sweep the Mets and the Diamondbacks get swept by the Padres, there's no need to play the doubleheader on Monday aside from one game. And then we'll know what the two teams are going to be.
That's
so
right.
If the Mets win tomorrow and the Diamondbacks lose, no doubleheader, because the Diamondbacks will have played themselves out of contention because those teams are head-to-head. So the way I'm getting around to this is the Brewers are going to face at least one more lefty in the wild card round, maybe two.
Yep.
And if Gary's going to be in the slump that he's in right now, I'm just lobbing this out there. We're going to see Eric Haas probably catch tomorrow. Is Eric Haas going to get some ABs coming up maybe next week if they see a left-handed pitcher? Or do you want to save him on your bench?
I save him on my bench. I think what you do, you still stick with the guy, the veteran guy, who, especially when you get into playoff time, that's been there before and has been able to do it. And it's kind of sometimes when you look at these things, it's what has this club done all season? How has he focused? How has this club reacted to him? And I think when you look at facing a lefty, I think Sanchez in the ballgame, he can create 8 runs in a hurry. He's one swing at a bat. He's definitely a guy who can create runs. And I'll tell you what, when you talk about Hostin, he can do so many things late in the game. He'll give you that good at bat, and he's a good guy to have late in the ball game. So I just think that if they do face a lefty, I think Sanchez is going to be your DH.
And then furthermore, for Gary, the numbers here, including tonight, just 7 for his last 54 at the plate. That's a 130 batting average. Want to see him get hot, hopefully, at the right time for the crew. Real quick, Sal Frelick. The news today, in case you missed it, he has essentially a bone bruise. No fracture, no ligament damage, nothing further than a really, really severe contusion. And he's walking with a crutch right now. It's, as he explained it to the media, it was, you know, it's the glute muscle, which is the main muscle used to stand up. So that's why there's so much pain for him to walk right now. They just have to let the swelling and the inflammation subside before he can even resume baseball activities. The way the Brewers are going to roll with this is not put him on the injured list. We're going to go with a man short tomorrow, because if you put him on the injured list, you guarantee him not returning until the CS. If you just keep him off the playoff roster and you move on to the DS and he's feeling better, you can activate him back onto the playoff roster. But nonetheless, you lose a great defensive right fielder, a pesky AB, and some speed. I think this absence, assuming they don't have him in the wild card round, is going to be felt.
Well, he makes your team better. There's no question when he comes game, he can do so well. He's one of the best outfielders that we do have. You give him at bats. You know, he goes up there and he gives you a good at bat, and he runs the bases so well. He does a lot. He does everything that in the game of baseball that you need a player to do, he does it well. And he goes up each and every game, he plays that way. So I like what they're going to be doing with it, depending on how it looks tomorrow, how it looks in the next few days. But those are kind of muscles that hopefully they can get to treatment. And, you know, if he doesn't make the first playoff series. The second one, boy, it would be nice to have them.
It would be really nice. Now, real quick, and this I'll let you go with here, Augie, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, too, but the Brewers win another series. They've won five of their last six series to head into the postseason. You know, everyone was telling me the sky was falling when they lost that series to the Rockies, but hey, that's baseball, Susan, as yep. as we jokingly say. I don't want to call it peaking, but they're playing really darn well. And tonight, the defense like you talked about, the pitching like we've talked about, this was an all-encompassing effort from the Brewers. A good, clean, proper baseball game. I don't want to call it peaking, but darn it, it feels good to be rolling into the playoffs like this.
This is the way they play. This mm-hmm. is that's their style. They go out there and they play hard and they win series. You know, that when they talk about let's win today, I don't think any game since they've won the division has been any game that they've gone to has let's not win today. Mm-hmm. Let's go and play as hard as we can. And I really like the attitude, the way they played. Everybody is out there playing hard. Everybody's trying to add and help this ball club. Everybody's trying to get sharp for the playoffs. And I'll tell you, Murph and the pitching coaches have done a great job of getting everybody ready. Everybody's getting that opportunity. They're all sharp. And that's what you want to feel. You want to feel positive about what you do, continually play good, strong baseball, and go out and play hard each and every day and to win that game. And they're doing that. That's the way they played all year. Why stop?
All right. We'll hopefully talk about a sweep tomorrow and see what happens. The only way the Mets can celebrate tomorrow is if they win and the Diamondbacks lose. That is how they'll be able to celebrate a playoff berth. All right, Jerry Augustine, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, my friend, and appreciate you as always.
Yeah, it's exciting. Another day of excitement. It never ends. You all say baseball goes to the last day. Baseball goes to the last day this year also.
Going for win number 94. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers, man, it's just high-quality baseball once again on a national audience, too, for folks who watched it on Fox Sports. Wayne Randazzo, John Smoltz, Ken Rosenthal were all in the house today to watch the Brewers, and even Willie Adames dropped an undaunted on the broadcast with Ken Rosenthal in the post-game interview earlier tonight. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy in just a little bit. Highlights as well. We're going till the bottom of the hour here on 620 WTMJ. We also had a chance to catch up with Tobias Myers from the Brewers Network postgame show. Josh took care of it earlier tonight. Wanted to play that interview here as Tobias, he earns the win, even though he was the bulk guy, didn't go five innings, but he was the second guy out, so he goes four strong, shutout frames. Tobias joined the network postgame earlier tonight.
Tobias Myers joining us from just outside the Brewers clubhouse following tonight's shutout victory. Four scoreless out of Tobias tonight, just one hit allowed for you, Tobias. It looked like your stuff played up a little bit tonight. Did you feel as good as you've ever felt?
Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, I felt pretty good. I always joke and talk about, like, in the past, I always feel really good on that day four, like right before my start. So it was kind of cool to go out there and like feel it for one of the first times. And yeah, I was excited. Felt good.
I'll tell you, Tobias, we were talking about it as we watched you do a shorter warm-up session in the bullpen than you're used to when you're a starting pitcher.
Right.
Was that intentional tonight? Is that something that maybe the Brewers asked you to do for potentially filling a role like that in the postseason?
I think they just kind of said treat it like a start, and I kind of did that on my own a little bit. I didn't want to rely on that because I know once postseason starts, if I'm out there, you don't have time to go out there and throw 25, 30 pitches. So just tried to shorten it up a little bit. I usually don't take too much time to get ready. I just kind of use the time that I have. But, yeah, I felt pretty good.
Tobias, if you have a bullpen role, and it could be both. I mean, I could see a long extended run in October. You could make starts. You could come out of the pen at times. Anything can happen in the postseason, as you know. Do you anticipate in those shorter stints that your sequencing could change and pitch selection could change a little bit with how you attack hitters?
Honestly, put all that trust into William.
Yeah.
Especially coming out of the bullpen, he kind of sees where the guys are at already and kind of where they're what they're looking for, I guess, or how they're swinging the bat. So, yeah, I kind of just put all the trust in him. I didn't check him once tonight and probably continue that, especially coming out of the bullpen.
How nice is that to have a catcher that you can just completely trust like you guys all do with William?
It's huge. I mean, as soon as he calls the pitch, then I come set and I'm like, okay, yeah, he's right. I mean, if I just execute this pitch, we'll get the job done. So, yeah, it's huge just having him back there and not having to think up on the mound, just have him doing all the thinking for you.
Tonight's winning pitcher, Tobias Myers, joining us from down near the clubhouse. We would like you, Tobias, to put in perspective, if you would. I know you're not done for the year, but this ends your regular season. As a rookie, you had 9 wins. When the Brewers played the Mets on opening weekend, you were down in the minor leagues. To now see it 6 months later come to you get the win, you beat this Mets, you've had a wonderful season. Can you tell us what these last 6 months or so have meant?
It's meant the world just to get the opportunity to come up here and fight for a spot and kind of see like my stuff plays up here, and it's just super exciting to take it with me to the offseason, go to next year. I know we're definitely not done yet, but yeah, just super rewarding, super exciting, and very grateful for the opportunity.
Well, it doesn't happen without a lot of belief in yourself.
Definitely.
And staying with it, and you have had that, and you're being rewarded for it now. And congratulations on that, because a lot of other people might have given up on the dream, and you didn't. And, boy, the Brewers are thankful that you didn't, because the Brewers and Brewers fans and us in the booth are benefiting from your fortitude and your stick-with-it-ness, and now you're here as a big, big part of this 2024 club. We appreciate it, Tobias. Thank you for giving us the time, and congratulations once again.
Thank you so much, and, yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Congratulations to Tobias Myers once again. What an incredible rookie season for a guy that was really not on many radars at the start of the year, and now he's going to have a role on a postseason club. Up next, we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. Cider, as the playoffs approach, remind you to schedule your annual furnace tune-up. They're offering $20 off through the end of October. Act fast and schedule your appointment today at Cider.com, Seider.com. Pat Murphy talking about the crowd, talking about Joey Ortiz, and talking about the Brewers as they roll on in win number 93 of the season.
For a game that for us really didn't have the ramifications, but just the way the fans showed up in support, our players feel it. That's a really good team. I mean, we punched out 16 times. That's not usually a game you win. But I think of the Joey at bat, and I think of the way the fans were involved, and it helps. It helps our ball club. These are young guys that want to feel supported.
And do you think it's good for Joey and maybe some of these other young guys?
I thought the environment was great and telling of what could be in next week. You know,
Murph, how about the pitching performance from top to bottom today? I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
It really doesn't. Yeah, Tobias was impressive. Piamps, really impressive. Ashby's coming off. He got a little sore back, but he still was really good. Mears was good. He's only been out there twice since, you know, in a month, and then Devin was Devin, but Koenig was good out of the front end. Yeah, I thought we pitched well, and that's a really good offensive club, and that's a hot club, you know, that has played great and a lot more experience than we ever have. I mean, there isn't a first-year player in there, I don't believe. Maybe Acuna tonight, right? But other than that, there are Ventos too. But, you know, we got 6 of them on our side, and they got great veterans and, you know, very capable. But I was proud of our guys that – you know, we stuck with it and had some really good performances.
Do you think Tobias's performance tonight just kind of like sums up his entire season? I mean, 4 shutout innings, just 1 hit. I mean, he's been so great all season long, just kind of coming out of, you know, seemingly nowhere that you've talked about all season long.
Yeah, I mean, he's been like similar to a lot of guys that we just didn't know what to expect, and this kid comes out and deals the way he has, and you know, he, big environment, I don't know how many people there tonight, but big environment, he just keeps his focus and competes. This is a guy that's been with 6 different clubs and never made it to the big leagues. So what a story. You know, I'm really proud of him.
That's it.
Go ahead.
I didn't cut you off, did I?
No, who cares if you did?
That inning for Piamps just caps a really, really strong second half, especially after it was an inconsistent start to the year.
what have you seen from him over these last few months, and how big of a piece has he been these last few months?
He's quietly been really, really important. You know, like, you don't just throw a guy out there, a seventh inning guy or a sixth inning guy. He's been both, but and an eighth inning guy. But quietly he's been really special. I'm happy for him. He's been consistent lately, really consistent.
Sorry, this time I cut you off.
Yeah, it's a habit.
This is the point of the year you want to go in as healthy as possible. So when you talk about feeling good, at the same time, is there a mental aspect of you just want to go in playing clean games, feeling good, deep breath?
Yeah, I think how you feel going in doesn't really matter. It's what you believe going in. You know what I mean? The feelings of it, like, oh, we're playing good, they're hot, they're not, you know, all that kind of stuff. Oh, they got this guy, you know, he's an all-star. All that stuff can get in your head, you know. For young people, it's ready for anything, and it's a belief system. And I think if your belief system's great and you're ready for anything, then you'll respond. So the game doesn't start exactly the way you want, but you're willing to respond and get on it and believe that, hey, something good's going to happen. So.
Another one of those young guys that came through, I mean, Monasterio had a big moment there in the eighth. He hasn't had a ton of opportunities this year. What do you think that moment just meant for him?
Well, that's why he played tonight. He played because of the opportunity to maybe have a moment like that, you know, and that's going to make him feel great, because lately when he has got his opportunity to play, he hasn't been his best. You know, he's had a couple rough moments in Arizona. I think once we got back here, he had a couple other moments that weren't his best defensively more than anything, but tonight was great to see.
What has been the difference for some of these players emerging this year that you didn't know what to expect? What's sort of a common theme? Is there one?
I mean, they're the right guys, you know, they're the right guys. They show up every night to compete. You know, there's no excuses. There's great leadership in the clubhouse. Even guys that are injured right now, there's great leadership. They show up to compete, you know, and that's what I'm most thankful for. And whether they've played a year or not played a year, whether people had high expectations, low expectations, Chuck, they come every day to compete. And they don't get down for very long. They respond to it. And that's what gives you great hope. Gives you great hope that they're gonna do that every night.
That is your future NL Manager of the Year, Pat Murphy. Again, if he doesn't win Manager of the Year, and if Bryce Terang doesn't win a Gold Glove, I just want to have a conversation. I just want to talk to him. Got to have a conversation. That's the Manager of the Year right there. Really excited to see what October could hold for the Brewers. Highlights, they're coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Less so of the get up, get out, because the Brewers didn't hit a home run today. In a shutout win, 6-0, we got to talk about the pitching. It was the opener, Jared Koenig. He left the man stranded in the first, then Tobias Myers took over from there. In the third, he had to work a little bit against the bottom of the order.
3-2 again on Acuna. Here it comes from Myers, swing and a miss. He blew him away. 95-mile-an-hour heat. He looks good. 12 pitches to the rookie Acuna.
And then he did it in a little more economical fashion against the polar bear.
When the first pitch is thrown, anything can happen.
3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. 96-mile-an-hour fastball from Tobias Myers, who strikes out the middle of the Mets order in order in the fourth inning. Vientos K, Nimmo K, Alonzo K.
All that was missing, though, was some runs, as it was still 0-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Jose Quintana was pitching well. The Brewers got a rally going with one out. Adames singled. Hoskins walked. And with two outs, another walk by Isaac Collins low to the bases. Ortiz worked the count from 0-2 to 3-2 and put the ball in play.
Stretch, 3-2 pitch. Breaking ball lined to the left center field. Falling in. Base hit, Joey Ortiz. Two-run score. It's a two-run single, Joey Ortiz.
Josh Maurer's call as the Brewers took the lead. Little did they know that would be all they needed. The Brewers' offense wouldn't score again until the eighth inning, and they let the floodgates open. Mitchell led off with a single, stole second. Contreras walked. With two on and nobody out, Adames got the party going.
One pitch.
Ground ball through the left side and into left field for a base hit. Mitchell streaking around third on his way home. The throw is cut off, and the Brewers have their insurance here in the eighth. It's 3-0 Milwaukee.
And then later, they reloaded the bases. Joey Ortiz drew another bases-loaded walk this time. And then, Andrew Monasterio, who seldom plays, but delivered a moment to remember in 2024.
Young's 2-1. Ground ball back up the middle. That's going to sneak through into center field. Adames is home. Bauer's racing around third. He will score. A two-run single for Andrew Monasterio. And the Brewers have broken it open in the eighth. It is 6-0 Milwaukee.
Lane Grindle's call. That would be the final score. The Brewers' 93rd win of the season. They're locked into the three seed as the carnage happens around them. We'll try to simplify the playoff picture up next on 620 WTMJ. I'm on top of the world. All right, let's make this as simple as possible. Welcome back in. I'm Dom Catronio. Thanks to everybody who's tuned in. Finale tomorrow. First pitch is scheduled for 2:10. Modify your tailgates. 2:10. First pitch tomorrow. Everybody plays at the same time tomorrow, so there's no competitive advantage. We'll be keeping an eye on everything that happens in Arizona and in Atlanta because all of that impacts what the Mets have in front of them and who the Brewers will be playing on Tuesday. We're on the air at 1 o'clock with Brewers warm-up with yours truly, and I'll be with you after the game as well. Here are the simplest clinching scenarios for tomorrow's games. The only way, or there are two ways Atlanta can clinch a playoff spot. Reminder, we are playing a game at least on Monday, depending on what happens tomorrow. The Braves and the Mets are going to play at least one game on Monday. Atlanta will clinch a playoff berth with a win or Arizona losing. Okay, so they have two ways in. New York clinches a way in with a win and Arizona losing. Okay, so Atlanta has two ways in. Them winning, doesn't matter what the other team's happening. Or if Arizona loses, doesn't matter what the other team's happening. That's how Atlanta gets into the postseason and locks them into the five seed. New York clinches, I should say, it does not clink them, lock them into the five seed. See, I'm getting too much. New York clinches a postseason berth with a win and Arizona losing. The only way that they clinch is that exact scenario. That's it. Arizona clinches with a win and losses by Atlanta and New York. So they need all three things to happen in their favor. And for New York, there's still an opportunity for them to get bounced if they lose tomorrow and on Monday. That's going to do it for me here tonight. Thank you for listening. And to our producer, Evan Witalison, I'm Dom Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.